Innovation is flourishing in emergency management and in response. This wasn't something that we saw in years before. Inevitably, when you have a lack of time, resources, and personnel, you have to find creative ways to help save lives and to continue to do good work in the community and to create resiliency.
Welcome back to COVID-19 Heroes. Today, I'm very excited to bring you a personal hero of mine, Desi Mattel-Anderson, the Chief Wrangler of the Field Innovation Team. Desi is a trailblazer with extensive experience working in emergency management across all levels of government. Now she devotes her time to serving communities globally with groups of volunteers in order to innovate and create cutting-edge disaster solutions. She lectures on innovation at Harvard, Yale, and UC Berkeley, and serves as a consultant on innovative practices and infrastructure for agencies and governments both nationally and internationally. So on the show today, she does what she does best. She talks about innovation in times of crises and shares both about the work the Field Innovation Team is currently doing for COVID-19 and how they have been able to empower people across the world to become more creative themselves. Hi, Desi. Thank you for being on today's show of COVID-19 Heroes. Welcome.
Thank you, Lorraine. Thanks for having me.
Desi, I am so very excited to have you on today's show. You are an absolute hero of mine in and outside of the COVID response. As an emergency manager, I look up to you in so many ways, and I honestly don't even know where to start listing all of your accomplishments. So I'm going to try and do my best. So your emergency management career began when you volunteered for Northern Illinois University's Office of Emergency Planning, and then you transitioned over to different roles in the state of Wisconsin, followed by FEMA, the Federal Emergency Management Agency, where you served as the first Chief Innovation Advisor and Think Tank Strategic Vision Coordinator. Now you are the Chief Wrangler of the Field Innovation Team, FIT. So tell us, what is FIT and what led you to create it?
The Field Innovation Team is an organization comprised of all different disciplines who are interested in solving the biggest challenges in disasters. We really work with formal and informal networks, but the idea behind us is this is community-led, and certainly we engage everybody who has an interesting way to help solve a problem, because most of us are innovators. We don't even know it. I don't actually feel like I created FIT. I think FIT came to us as a vision because there was a gap in emergency management. Back in 2010, there was a flood in the Midwest, and I happened to be working in Wisconsin at the time. And we had to do innovation in real time in that response to that mid-sized flood. And so the very short of this is we saw a gap in emergency management where you have a lack of time, resources, and personnel, and you've got to come up with creative solutions. And as you know, we have been coming up with creative solutions in the recent COVID-19.
So I'm sure there are many projects you love being a part of over the years. What has been one of your favorite?
One of my favorite projects was one that was actually a robotics petting zoo that we ran on the U.S.-Mexico border. This is back in 2015. We were asked to come in by state, local, and federal partners to help support a lot of people coming over the border who were unaccompanied minors from Honduras, El Salvador, and Guatemala. And so we had to come up with interesting ways to engage and empower these youth and help to just keep things peaceful and quell some of the violence. And so we came up with our team, this robotics petting zoo. And so we had a chance to fly, roll, crawl robots all over these fields in Texas to get youth engaged, which isn't usually our normal piece. We're usually in a hurricane or a flood or tornadoes or earthquakes. But it's one of my favorite projects because it was very forward-looking movement to help support people who were survivors and traveling so far from South America through Mexico into the United States.
That's very cool. What is the background of the people who were involved in this project or who are part of FIT in general and help you lead these initiatives?
Very diverse. We have mathematicians. We have people who work in robotics. We have artists who do a lot of interesting work. We have one artist right now who's connecting her math background with art to help us build out these algorithms that were actually used in previous disasters. Very interesting. We've even had former astronauts and aquanauts, people who go under the water and stay there for a period of time. So just a really big variety of different talents. And some of them have an emergency management background And other times they don't, but they learn emergency management through our boot camps, as well as through the responses that we do with our emergency managers around the world.
And I think that's really what makes FIT so special, because from the time that I've been involved with FIT and when I got to go to Washington State with you and a bunch of other FIT members last year and working together with everyone, I was just so impressed with the varied backgrounds of everyone and just all the different ideas that can come together when you put people with different expertise and experience in the same room.
Absolutely. It makes all the difference because you see things from different angles and different perspectives. And sometimes it's a collage of those different perspectives that help build out a really interesting way to use a different technology or repurpose a technology. Or other times it's very low technology and it's a way to help support supply chain post-hurricane and helping to get communities resources faster.
So FIT is all about innovation and empowering humans to create cutting-edge disaster solutions. What do those solutions look like for COVID-19?
You've done your homework, Lorraine. I didn't even give the mission statement and you gave it. Thank you for doing that. In COVID, we've been working on a couple of different projects with different cities around the world and specifically here in the United States right now because it's a little bit more prominent. Here at the moment, we have a couple projects. One of the first things that we did was look at the data analytics that was happening with social media and some of the other platforms that we helped to accrue. And we looked at all this different data that was coming through and we started to forecast the need for personal protective equipment and the fact that the national stock supply that we have wasn't going to be enough. And so one of the projects the team worked on, which was incredibly valuable, was creating homemade personal protective equipment, which was a call out by the city of Redmond's emergency manager, Patty Jean Hooper, who you know. And we were able to test out these prototypes and build out these homemade materials. Now, at first, when we put out the guide, and we obviously recommended follow the CDC, you know, if you make a homemade mask, you should be also using a homemade shield, at least to cover, because the materials you use might not be able to keep out the virus. But this became quite a movement, and we saw makers everywhere start to build out and turn their attentions from still doing ventilator work, but really turning their attention towards N95s, Tyvek suits, equipment that we need in the community and help to shorten the demand on some of the personal protective equipment that the nurses, doctors, and people on the front line had. So that was one really great project that came out of COVID. I'm happy to share a few others.
Yes, please do.
So we had done some public sentiment analysis on the data, specifically looking at fear that was spiking in populations around the world. Looked at 11 cities around the entire world, and within, I think it was about 100-mile radius. This was done by Marlita out of New Mexico. And what we were seeing was people were having fear. The emergency management was trying to find ways to get people to self-quarantine and to encourage self-quarantine. So the team built out this initiative called Crisis Creativity, which took off. It was the idea that we could do invention, art, different things in our homes and to encourage people to stay home, but to do something positive while you're in quarantine. The other cool part is we have a couple of historians on the team who were able to do research on past plagues and quarantines that had happened through history, from Newton, who created lots of scientific inventions while the plague was going on and in scientific discoveries, as well as Mary Shelley, who wasn't quarantined because of a plague or a pandemic, but she had created Frankenstein during a time when they had the year without summer, when historically we had the biggest human recorded volcanic eruption that we've ever had. It was a VE7. So we were trying to promote that effort to get people to flatten the curve, to not spread the virus, and continue to find ways to do something positive. And so what came out of that was a Viking from Norway gave us a whole video on survival guide and how you can live off the grid. And there was a French firefighter who showed us how she's quarantining. Rather than riding her motorcycle outside that day, she decided to scoot around in her basement of her apartment building. And then finally, we had a gentleman from Maryland who used to work for the Department of Energy, who was able to show us how he was making his homemade face shields when he needed to go in public to get groceries. So it was a really neat movement. It's a continued global movement that anybody can join to help promote creative practices while we are in quarantine.
How can our listeners join?
Very simple. There's a couple ways. First of all, if you're on social media, go ahead and create a 1 to 2 minute video of what you're doing, whether it be an invention, a scientific piece, it might be an artistic painting, it could be a performance piece, anything that you're doing in quarantine that is creative, and then use the hashtag Crisis Creativity. Again, the hashtag is Crisis Creativity. And we look forward to seeing what people are doing in this time of the pandemic, but more importantly, in a time to be constructive.
I look forward to it as well, and I will make sure to retweet and share some of the submissions that you will receive. So, Desi, you have quite a unique perspective on things because you have worked in emergency management for a long time, and you've worked in emergency management on the local level, on the federal level. Now you're running a nonprofit and a grassroots organization. Taking all of those different perspectives together, what lessons will you draw from this pandemic?
That we are more connected than we are separate. That is a big lesson that I'm taking back. And what I mean by that is we're having an opportunity right now to take a good look at how we can restructure things for the better, how we can keep intact our relationships, how we can have virtual emergency operation centers, which you're seeing like the city of Ottawa is doing in Ontario and Canada. We're looking at ways to redevelop that and to build that, but we're all connected. So we really have to be in this together. So that's one lesson. Second lesson that I'm learning is innovation is flourishing in emergency management and in response. This wasn't something that we saw in years before. And even when I was at FEMA, my job originally was not really to be in a response. It was supposed to be in preparedness, but innovation happens no matter what. Inevitably, when you have a lack of time, resources, and personnel, you have to find ways, creative ways, to help save lives and to continue to do good work in the community and to create resiliency. So definitely innovation is something that is thriving in this pandemic because people don't have enough personal protective equipment. So they have to make their own or they have to help, you know, not choke the supply by allowing the medical staff, personnel, and first responders to have it. So they might need to use their household materials to develop out prototypes and to help support while they're going to the store. So that's really, really important. I think those are the two big lessons, is that we're in this together and that innovation is thriving because we need to find new solutions. We need to seek ways to continue to help support the response.
None of us have a crystal ball to predict the future, unfortunately, but in what ways do you think COVID-19 will reshape the field of emergency management?
I believe that we are going to get a bit more resilient on having virtual operations. I know that it's a patchwork quilt of people. Some people are in emergency operation centers, some are in emergency coordination centers, others are doing virtual operations, and some have to because they have tested positive for COVID-19. So one item I do see is people are going to become, there's going to be a better continuity piece in regards to having that virtual emergency operation center happening. So that's one prediction I have for the future. Another prediction I have is there's going to be, this has really opened the gate. I mean, we've been doing this for a decade plus of this whole innovating in real time and creating solutions on the fly, and not in a way that is harmful or hurtful, but ways that are helpful and amplify and support the response, and certainly done with emergency management. I suspect we're going to see a lot more innovation. And a great example came out of King County, Washington, which was one of the epicenters of COVID, along with New York City. But both cities have actually run lots of innovation workshops with us. But in King County, their public information officers had to come up with ways to be innovative. They were stuck in a couple of positions. They have a lot of time. They have to create good messaging and they have to keep people safe. And so they were drawing upon some of the things they had learned at a former boot camp that we had run and putting those into practice. So I believe COVID's actually going to teach us to be much more progressive and on the cutting edge. And it's going to allow us and propel us into thinking about that virtual world and how we might be able to design our virtual operation centers.
Do you have any advice for people who want to be creative and bring those solutions to their workplaces? You have so much experience trying to push that creativity barrier and moving it forward. What is some advice that you would give to someone?
innovation happens not just at the top and certainly not in the middle. It happens at the bottom, middle, and top. It happens in all areas as it seeps into all different cultures and organizations and practices. The advice I would give, because I've seen it work really well when people keep an open mind, the most important thing is that emergency managers, I mean, they care about their communities. They are incredibly dedicated to getting things done and they'll work long hours. But it's also time to think about how we can make it even better, how we can make these communities more resilient. So if someone were to ask for advice on how to help crack that into their work life and their day-to-day, or even if they're in response in COVID-19 right now, I would say it's not always about doing little tiny pieces. If that works for you, that's fine. But sometimes it's about throwing out a really great idea and telling what is it, who and why you're solving for, and how you're going to solve it. And you have to do it in an elevator pitch. So I believe this is going to be a time for people to throw their ideas out a bit more and see if some of these solutions can help save some lives.
How can people join your cadre of volunteers?
They should come to a boot camp because we definitely want people to get to understand who we are and our approach to things. We're not your typical response unit. We do get called into emergencies by incident commanders, and certainly we got called into COVID-19 by several of them. We were able to work virtually, but we definitely recommend the boot camp. We don't run them all the time. We run them once a year. We've got one coming up this October. I'm hoping that we will be able to put it on. And obviously, if the pandemic comes back or we have a second wave, we'll have to postpone. But that's a great time to get because you get to meet the team. You get to see the process of how we deploy and we'll be simulating a disaster. And you understand how we fit in to the incident command structure a bit better. So that's the best way. But if you can't come to the boot camp in October and you don't want to wait another year, we run these things called do tanks, which is using our design thinking process, the three-step prep, to simulate regional disasters all around the world. So you also have an opportunity to come join us at one of those locations. And in fact, before the pandemic really took hold in the United States, we were just coming back from two do tanks in St. Paul, Minnesota, as well as Las Vegas, Nevada.
Amazing. Well, Desi, do you have any parting words for us?
I think my parting words would be that we're in this together. We have to innovate in real time. COVID-19 and response moving forward, we're going to have to build solutions and we're going to have to do it in real time. So be ready to embrace the new, look for ways and seek ways to solve with your community, not just for your community, and join us or have us join you. We've got a really great, fun, spirited team who, even on this Friday evening as we talk, Lorraine, is working on a long-term recovery supply chain project for a city on the Pacific Northwest. So we're here, and my parting words would be that we want to encourage everyone in the emergency management field to innovate in real time. And if you're not quite certain or sure what that means, then come either join us out in the field at a do tank or a boot camp, and then possibly join us for a deployment.
You have so much compassion for people and such a big drive to help communities in times of disaster. Thank you so very much for sharing your insights with us today, Desi.
Rain, thanks for the opportunity and thank you for all you're doing with Disney and COVID-19 to support communities around the world.
Thank you. I'd like to close off this episode by thanking each and every person out there who has had to lean into their creativity and innovate in real time. It's not something that comes easily to us, yet we have seen a lot of it happening as the pandemic has pushed the realm of possibilities beyond our imagination. Join in on the Crisis Creativity Challenge on social media and hashtag it Crisis Creativity, and both FIT and COVID-19 Heroes will make sure to share your submission. I really hope you enjoyed today's episode, and if you did, feel free to send it to a friend or submit a review. Thank you for listening, and until next time, I'm your host, Lorraine Schneider.